Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
It's still January 21st.
And they're still impeached. No, actually, they have impeached the president. They're still trying the president.
They're discussing amendments.
Right. Yeah, so it's,
that the House managers have proposed, and they keep getting.
So do we consider this part of the trial or the preliminary?
This is not a trial. This is preliminary to establish
the rules for the trial proper.
But meanwhile, there's no evidence that's going to be allowed to be presented. So what kind of trial
is that what they settled on finally? I mean, I knew that was coming.
He says evidence can come after. After what? I don't know what, but
after the trial.
Yeah, I mean, McConnell's basically taking his orders from.
Yeah.
You know, they just want. They don't care what he is. They just want him to run again, to win again, and to put all more judges in. And that, to me, is the travesty of this whole administration, is that these are lifetime appointments of judges.
I have, ever since the mid-1980s, felt that presidential elections continue to this day to basically come down to the abortion issue. And the thing is that Republicans, evangelicals, strongly wanting to just keep tilting things so that they can
and
get
guns.
Their person in.
You've got to throw the guns in there because some of those gun advocates are not that into the abortion issue.
I'll grant you that. And so the thing is, it's those constitutional issues that they're
focusing on. The Second Amendment
and the fact that they want to overturn Roe versus Wade. Right to privacy really does apply to abortion cases.
Oh, my gosh.
And I always felt that the Bill Clinton impeachment.
Oh, yeah.
Was as much about trying to just get him out so that
they
could.
Oh, for 8 years they tried to get him out. Just like they wanted Obama out for 8 years.
And it was so much of it was about judicial appointments and not just Supreme Court judicial appointments.
Well, I never thought about it in his case because you're right. He got, who did Elena Kagan? Was that Obama?
Yeah.
But he did Bader.
Yes.
And you're right. It is about, it's not just the Supreme Court. Yeah. You have to look at the other courts. You're right.
Yeah. So,
but those were lifetime appointments, and those people hopefully are still on the bench, 2020 years,
so
I don't know.
Bill Clinton, I think,
and
was
Obama
viewed as
too.
Is this tremendous setback to the long-term agenda.
But wait a minute, Obama, for his last 2 years,
same
did not
thing.
But he did not have control of the Senate.
Right, so as a result, any advantage in terms of judicial appointments that Obama would have had to, you know, give a setback to those whose agenda was all about getting those conservative justices. You know,
did they vote on all of those, even the federal districts and all that? The states? Does the Supreme?
I think they
do.
Yeah, they have to do approvals. So
you don't hear about those.
So there's a lot of those ones are just sort of held and left vacant and whatever. So stalling tactics became part of the game plan then as well.
What the big stall was the Merrick Garland one. I mean, that
was the most pathetic, outrageous one. Yeah.
And you know that if something happens right now, God forbid, with Ruth Bader Ginsburg or any of them, McConnell will just forge ahead and appoint somebody.
Of course, yeah.
And if those Republicans in that Senate that go along with that, then, you know, all hope is lost for this.
You know,
this
one of the things,
country,
I mean,
really,
I can't speak to all the various district judges and whatever, but you know, there was kind of an interesting twist, which was that there were Supreme Court justices over the centuries appointed by, let's say, more conservative ones who became more liberal,
you know,
or vice versa.
I think is coming to that. I think John Roberts, he's been there probably
But I think that one of the things I'll give Justice Roberts for, and it's not like I spend a lot of time thinking about this, so this is more top of the head stuff, but the thing is, I think he's very intensely interested in maintaining the integrity of the court.
Exactly.
And so if that means finding a compromise that doesn't set a highly politicized precedent, you know, he'll try and navigate around that.
Right.
I think that's what he's been trying to do. To whatever degree it's possible. But, you know, the thing is he still ultimately is one vote out of nine. So,
But he's a deciding vote because you've got Elena Kagan, you've got Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ooh, who else we got that maybe is votes? The women. It's all the women.
Sotomayor.
That's only three.
Yeah, I mean, I want to still believe that it's not a matter of conservative justices and liberal justices, that they're just justices, you know, and they're all capable on a good day to vote the right way.
So are they already outnumbered then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know, the, but you know, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just.
But I, you know, I, to me, impeachment is a sort of like that's just sort of the pre-show for the bigger game. You know. You know, whether it's we're talking about the presidential election to come. You know, we're sort of setting the stage for that. But I, you know, I just sort of think that.
Well, everything I've heard is that even if they have a Democrat in there, it's like the change that you want to see is not, yeah, dramatic, but still would be, at least visually, optically, emotionally, it would sure be better.
Yeah. You know, but the thing is, wouldn't it be great if, in fact, some greater kind, I'm going to start very zen now or something, but a greater consciousness started to, you know, after all of this stuff with impeachment and the embarrassment of this presidency, that in fact some people sort of said, what the heck? We've got to do something here. This is just nuts. Can we just get this ship back on?
I think there are people that think that way, and I think there's a whole lot of people that just don't care.
Maybe they're not.
And maybe not. Hopefully there's not enough of them. Yeah. They don't vote, but I don't know. Yeah. After that rally in Virginia.
Yeah, at some point, it's not all about left versus right, conservative versus liberal, whatever.
It's about coming together. It's about compromise. Right. It's about nonpartisanship.
And seeking compromise. Just the principle
Stop
of
fighting.
Seeking compromise, you know, rather
but
than
you know
winning
what?
All the time.
I hate to say it, but I know so many families, including my own, where one sibling doesn't talk to another, and then their parents didn't do it, and then blah, blah, blah. I think that's kind of common. People just hold grudges. They don't, you know. I don't know. We need a big therapy session.
But you know, if the coming election in November. By the way, I think is it March 3rd will be presidential primary.
Oh my gosh,
it's coming
that's
up.
Super Tuesday.
Yeah,
we're part of Super Tuesday.
And we are. I think that may be right. Yeah,
it is. It's we are part of Super Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's not far
February
away.
February 19th, I believe, is the New Hampshire primary.
And I think there is some level of early voting in
Iowa.
This.
I don't remember all early voting for primaries?
Actually, I'm not 100%
sure. I hope not. I mean, come on.
Well, they're going to be having for the September primaries and things as well. So, but anyway, it's a coming, and we'll get more details. And you can just check out the Election Commission website as well. But I'll certainly be putting up on my website more details.
Do you know
that
Markey
soon.
And Kennedy are going to be at our Cambridge Public Library doing a debate
with the Democratic
you
City
saw
Committee?
That?
We're actually there. Were
the date on? Is that on your?
It's it's. I believe it's the 30th. I'm not 100% sure.
That sounds right.
I don't have it on my
calendar.
You don't
have it. Okay.
Partly because I teach that night, so I won't be able to go anyway.
Is it a Thursday?
I might be. Actually, I could have that wrong. So let me not further out on that.
Well, I think it's definitely not next week.
Right. There were three candidates. Somebody named last name Liz.
Shan Liz Reardon, who was the whole
She
dropped out.
Yeah. So so it's Kennedy versus Markey.
And I heard today, and at first I thought they were talking about the Senate, but his seat, which I guess he has to vacate in order to do this. I didn't know he did, but there's like 6 or 7 names now that are vying for his seat.
Well,
now, what does
no,
that
the thing
mean?
Is, he
does
doesn't
he
have to.
Va-
he does not have to vacate his seat.
Oh, but is his term
but
up?
The thing is that if elected, a Senate seat is a 6-year term.
Right.
I think there are some states where you could run for both.
Really?
Right? Yeah. I mean, there's some weird things. Like, for example, was it Lieberman? Remember Joseph Lieberman?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was actually running for his Senate seat simultaneously
as
with running for vice president.
To me, that somehow seems different than Congress.
Right.
But that's interesting.
But if elected, then you resign.
But doesn't Joe Kennedy have to then run as a rep this November every 2 years?
He has
right?
to make a choice. I don't think in Massachusetts you could run for both.
Right. So then these people lining up, I guess, are just planning to maybe run.
By the way, it's still unsettled, the question of whether you could simultaneously run for city council and school committee in the city of Cambridge. I don't think that's strictly prohibited.
Did someone try to do that?
There have been candidates who pulled papers for both.
Oh, I think this year there was. Wasn't there somebody?
There might have been, but you know, Richard Harding did it in the past. You know,
right, right.
But you know, but nobody's ever actually pursued running for both.
I don't think he'd want.
I'm always reminded of Huey Kingfish Long in the great state of Louisiana, many many years ago, wanted to be governor, senator, and more. You know, all out of the same state, and I think might have been a late.
Got it. Yeah.
I don't remember if he did or didn't, but
Louisiana.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, there are issues, you know, can you hold certain seats? I think as long as there's no fundamental conflict of interest between the the jurisdiction of the two seats, that there are some things that you can do simultaneously. Like, there have been state reps and city councilors.
Well, of course.
Like Tim Toomey and others.
Tim Toomey, right? Sondra Graham.
There was a Boston city councilor who was also a state rep, I remember. Sondra Graham was both, you know.
Yeah.
Middlesex County Clerk of Courts was Eddie Sullivan, and many years later, Michael A. Sullivan. Though with Michael's case, he actually did resign before finishing out the his city council term. But, you know, for a while, he was holding both seats.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I don't know if I like that.
I would prefer people just do one.
But then I guess, you know, if people vote for them, then they vote for them.
That's democracy. If you you're okay with it, you're okay with it. Yeah. So anyway, so that's coming up.
Okay.
One thing, I haven't mentioned this in a while, but I think it was probably worth mentioning, is that there are actually several city boards and commissions
that
are coming that have vacancies. The deadline for one of them, I forget which one it was, just expired. But there are three other ones that are pending.
Is that the ones here?
A brand new one. So the latest one up is there's actually going to be a vacancy on the Cambridge Water Board.
Oh, yeah.
I actually applied to be on the Water Board one time and actually got an interview, whatever. And I'm glad I wasn't selected, because the person who was selected was better. He had particular expertise, and I said, can't argue that.
Yeah, you know?
That was a good choice. Mm-hmm. So that deadline is February 15th.
How long do they serve? Is it like you serve 3 years?
You know, it varies. You know, each of them varies. Some are 3-year terms. Some of them, I think Water Board may be 5-year terms, but I'm not 100% sure. Election Commission is 4-year terms, right? By the way, the Democratic seat, one of the two Democratic seats on the Cambridge Election Commission is up for renewal. That's the one Larry Ward is in, and the Democrat, the local city committees, party committees.
None of these are paid, right?
Only the Election Commission is actually paid.
Why is that paid, and not these others?
Because of the Acts of 1921 established it.
You know what I don't get is how the Board of Zoning Appeal is not paid. To me, they have big responsibilities.
You know, I've served on a bunch of different various advisory committees, and I'm still on the Central Square Advisory Committee.
That's not an advisory. They vote, right?
We do actually have a tiny, tiny little bit of authority, but it's still ultimately just advisory.
What, the Cambridge Board of Zoning Appeals?
No.
I'm talking about this one.
You know, the Board of Zoning Appeals has regulatory authority.
That's why it should be paid. Maybe that then influences the...
Maybe. Yeah. But, you know, listen, as long as there are good people willing to assume the position, then that's fine. Planning Board is another important regulatory authority.
They both do a lot of reviewing of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Conservation Commission, yes, that's important, but I guess 3 to 4 hour meetings.
I think Cambridge, the big pressure has to do with development, for at least, and some people feel that way.
Right.
So those positions are especially important. So that is that one. The Board of Zoning Appeals, the deadline.
Members, are they more than one they need?
I don't know how many, if there are multiple vacancies, sometimes there are.
And up to 7 associates, so that's...
So then there's the January 31st is the deadline for the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Okay.
As that's coming up.
And there's a
Net Zero Action Plan Task Force. I think they're kind of developing a plan, and they're not meant to be a body that remains in place forever.
Oh, I see. So right now it's just a...
So that's actually, the deadline for that is, I think, is it this Friday?
It says January 24th.
January 24th. So if you have an interest in that, you might want to look into that, you know. I mean, I'm going to speak as a person who's served on various boards over the years, is that it is like going to school. It's an opportunity. It's kind of worth it. You learn a lot about the city.
Yeah.
And nobody should ever hesitate to express interest in a board, even if they don't have prior experience or expertise.
Sometimes it's good that you don't.
Yeah,
you might learn.
You want all of these boards to have some members with lots of experience and expertise, but it's actually good to have people who are learning and open-minded and representative, et cetera. Mm. It's not all about just getting a bunch of pros.
There has to be some interest, though, in the subject. I mean,
I agree, but you know, it's actually...
Because then you're going to spend the time to learn more about it versus just, I want to just be on a board.
You know, actually, this sort of brings to mind something I've been sort of meaning to say a thing or two about for some time, which has to do with this whole system. We do it under the planning charter, where the city manager is the appointing authority, and then various city boards and commissions are appointed. City Council doesn't have to approve any but two of them. I think Housing Authority and...
the paid ones.
Right? Maybe the Health... Actually, Cambridge Redevelopment Authority, perhaps? Okay. Yeah, I think that's really it, right? And it's not about being paid. It's it's just about just how those boards were established,
right?
But for most just pure city boards, it's just the manager appoints, and that's it. You know, and if the council doesn't like it...
But it's on the recommendation of the people that run that
department. It sometimes is, but not always.
Because they accept the applications first.
But see now there you run into a little bit of a problem. Because what happens if, in fact, you've got a board that is sort of has a certain momentum, a philosophy, whatever, and it maybe it's a questionable philosophy. Maybe it should change. But if they have undue influence in saying to the manager, this is the person... we think you should appoint, then what they're essentially doing is replicating themselves and maintaining...
Okay, so then what's the alternative? They still get the opposite.
You know,
give them without any
I don't want to give the city council authority because then everything would become
politicized. No, but that leaves it up to Louis, and then what does he have to do? How does he read through
things? There is a lot... It's one of the weak points, I think. Now, I don't mean weak as in bad points, but meaning it's a vulnerability within the planning charter.
Have you seen that, though, happen on these boards?
Yeah, because the thing is, the manager is not necessarily going to... sort of stick her hand into the activities of every single board. You know, you wouldn't want to have a city manager who was such a micromanager to be doing that.
So then what's the solution? I don't see...
I don't know that there is a great solution other than everybody has to act responsibly, you know.
Yeah.
But for example, we served on the Cambridge's Recycling Advisory Committee.
I was on the Women's Commission first.
You were on the Women's Commission.
And then I was on the Recycling, right.
I was on the Men's Commission, but except that it didn't exist. So...
Yeah, the Men's Commission, that's
everything else. Right, sure. One would expect for something called the Recycling Advisory Committee that most people would be advocates.
Yeah, or have an interest in it.
But the thing is, I certainly, you know, during my time on there, I always sort of tried to at least say, well, how is this going to fly on Main Street? Are people going to think this is a cool thing? Like, if we are going to be, like, for example...
No, I always would bring stuff up like that.
I agree. But the thing is that it's part of the responsibility when you serve on these, even if you're an advocate with a point of view.
You're representing the city.
It's not just
your little bubble with, it's all good, let's get rid of this, wrap up, ban all that. You have to look at the whole picture. What makes sense?
Right.
Know your facts.
Yeah.
What's the infrastructure? Can we do that? What's the cost? You look at all that.
That's right. So it has
to
be kind of...
It's not just aspirational.
Yes.
Especially with the recycling.
Absolutely true. Yeah. Absolutely true. But, you know, I will make the strong suggestion that there are some advisory committees that are sort of trusted and they're just advocates, period, you know.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm all for bicycle safety, but the bike committee...
Well, that's a good one, the bike committee. Is there anybody on there?
Years ago, the Cambridge Bicycle Committee, it started off originally as one appointed by the mayor, and then it was sort of turned into a regular city advisory board.
Okay.
But in the early days, it actually had in my personal opinion, had a better representation of different viewpoints.
Hmm.
And what happened over time is that certain particular viewpoints were sort of pushed out and not replaced. And so it became a bit monolithic in terms of its point of view. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say, I disagree with everything the bike committee does, but the thing is that it's not really the place where you would go to have a seasoned discussion about the pros and cons of separating bike.
Is there a committee for mobility, for transportation?
All right, so this thing is... So
I think that should
so
be...
So when the bike committee was established, then it was a gung-ho for bikes, sure. But then somewhat in response to it, not entirely, but then there was a call to have a pedestrian committee. What about us? So then they appointed a pedestrian committee.
So we have a pedestrian, we have a bicycle, do we have a scooter committee?
No, we do not.
Okay.
But the thing is, then at some point down the road, it was recognized that we needed a transit advisory committee. So that was created by ordinance, and now there is a transit advisory committee. And I'm not questioning the wisdom of everybody, any of these people who are on the... I think I know some good friends are on some of these committees. But the thing is, they kind of act as silos. Now,
yeah.
In the last couple of years, I've noticed the pedestrian, bicycle, and transit would have a few joint meetings. Yeah. And I said, well, that's a movement in a good direction.
Yeah.
Because the advocacy is not always compatible.
Right.
Right? Now, I know this may be a very unpopular thing to suggest, but you know, the thing is, to whatever degree, there are still people who use motor vehicles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like there's a motor vehicle advisory committee.
So there should be an urban mobility committee, and maybe
yeah, there was once a traffic board, and then that was disbanded in the dead of night. I kind of would rather see a more unified transportation committee that
or at least they had a mandate to meet once a month, not just when they feel like with these other committees.
But I'd want to see more of a transportation coordinating committee that it basically hears the advice and advocacy of all of these, but tries to balance things out. Especially with these, as Craig Kelly, you know, advocated again and again and again about these emerging new forms of mobility.
Absolutely. Electric bikes. Electric scooters, regular scooters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, drones. And and to whatever degree, we still have the bikes are in the bike silo, and the transit in the transit silo, and the pedestrians in the pedestrian silo.
Well, I do know someone who is an avid bicyclist that's on the pedestrian committee. So
yes, as do I. Yeah.
It's probably the same person.
Yes, it is. It is, I'm sure. right? But I think it is a bit of a weakness. Now, the greatest weakness for me, though, is this. This has to do with how this dovetails into the city council.
Mm.
So, for example, and again, I'm not saying that the bicycle plan is good, bad, or anything, but they are kind of revising it to create a 2020 bicycle plan. And to the best of my knowledge, it's basically the people on the bicycle committee, all of whom are gung-ho advocates for a point of view, who are going to come out with their latest version of a bicycle plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty much going to guarantee you the city council is just going to rubber stamp it, no questions asked. Ooh. So that's a bit of a problem for me because I think the buck should stop somewhere.
Yeah.
And if there are some questions, serious questions to be asked about the relative wisdom of certain infrastructure decisions, then you would like to believe that a city council would do that, but they're not going to.
Well, but wait a minute. If they're presented with a bicycle plan, they then have to have hearings with the transportation committee, and you're going to have people come out that are going to speak on them.
You want to believe that that's how it's going to work.
Well, isn't that usually the way? If they're presented with a plan, they'd have to have go to a committee?
I believe when they pass an ordinance that basically says that laid out the procedure for how road projects would be rolled out in the future, and it pretty much mandates they must follow not only the existing bicycle
every time plan something,
or future iterates of it. So in other words, basically, so if the Cambridge Bicycle Committee decides, well, this is what we think the great wisdom is, and then that makes it into the plan, then the ordinance says that's the law. And, you know, somehow, especially with other, you know, maybe we should just trust them. You know, everything they do is wonderful. But, you know, just the fact that we've had controversies about this suggests that maybe that's not the best course of action.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I'm a big fan of Plenty. I am the junkyard dog of Plenty. I will defend it. But there are two aspects of it that I have been a kind of a growing concern about. One is this issue about at what point is an advocacy board basically become a policy making board?
Is that all part of Plan E government? Other cities don't have these kind of committees?
We have the appointing authority, which in city manager form of government is the city manager. In a mayoral form of government would be the mayor.
Okay.
Right? And a lot of times, so if you don't like it, you elect another mayor or something, right? But it's not like you're going to vote in the new bike committee or impeach the head of the pedestrian committee because you don't like the size of the width of the crosswalk or something.
All right.
You know, there's just no real mechanism for doing that. You know, so where do you draw the line between advocacy and representativeness? You know, and I just think it's a vulnerability.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll actually say has to do with proportional representation. And again, you know, you know, nobody should ever expect me to be arguing against proportional representation. Right. I'm not going to. But the thing is that, you know, this last election cycle, when I was sort of watching various new political organizations form and having influence and whatever, and you know, until the, unless that really establishes itself and becomes in a lot more buy-in from more people, basically we have a situation now where advocacy groups are basically having a little excess influence, I think, in the elections. And that's a bit of a problem. The other thing about proportional representation is, I keep raising that question, I say, proportional to what? You know, people sort of pat themselves on the back and say, oh, we do everything so wonderfully here because we're good old folks at Cambridge. But what are we? Are we? Do we strive to be proportional to backgrounds, to ethnicity, to religious beliefs, to political
positions? All you have to do is get a certain quota of votes and you're in.
I know it.
So all
you
have to do is court those 1,800, 2,000 votes. It's not a lot.
But, you know, that phrase proportional representation runs off the tongue pretty easily for some folks.
But, you know, I think some people take it seriously and try to represent all parts.
I agree. You know, I think by and large it works okay. And it's, I would
better
argue, better than most every other election system, but not necessarily perfect.
Yeah.
And maybe we could do a little bit better. You know, I always felt, well, you know, I honestly, even though I sometimes was at odds with them, the days of the Cambridge Civic Association, even if there was no formal other side to that, but sometimes there was, it at least helped to sort of make clear, you know, you could choose some sides, and it was, it wasn't all based on a single issue.
Well, that's true. We have to get away from that kind of thing.
So,
hopefully that will...
And honestly, I don't know how people make decisions about school committee. So,
have kids in the school.
That's basically it. So,
okay, see you next week.
See you next week on Cambridge Inside Out.